True Faith Podcast, Newcastle United 0, Manchester United 2. This is a podcast sponsored and supported by our patrons who pay us £5 per month for 20 to 30 extra shows on Newcastle United. Link in the description of this podcast. Please check it out. If you've got any questions, let us know at the new at that we have on social media, at TFNUFC fanzine. No, at TFNUFC. Got it wrong. Never mind, you've got myself, Alex Hurst, Michael Collin, Adam Widgerton, and Rob Clothier to talk you through all of the action and where this leaves United in a perilous relegation battle. Adam, you're reasonably positive, so I'm going to hand the phone over to you and talk to the listeners about why.
I just think we played really well. We showed a lot of fight. I mean, that first hour, for the disparity in terms of the talent and the resources of both sides, I think Man United have a lot to be embarrassed about. They were pretty poor. They didn't seem to threaten us too much. There was a couple of times they breached the defence and Dubravka had to come out. But apart from that, I mean, after an hour, you'd probably look at... I mean, Cristiano had more shots on target than anyone else on the pitch. Do you know what I mean? And I thought we were solid and we were very much... At half-time, we were very much in the game. On 60 minutes, we were very, very much in the game. And, you know... when the goal eventually came, you know, it wasn't massively surprising because you've got somebody who's got the talent of Marcus Rashford, who is, you know, supremely better than anyone we've produced in the last 20 years. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, I don't want to vilify Dubravka for spilling what he did, because I think that the knuckleball technique is something that is perfected by only a very small amount of players. And it can cause problems. The ball moves so unpredictably. It's very difficult. I think Lukaku just come on the pitch and he happened to just be faster than our defenders. So I don't want to particularly vilify Dubravka. Rafa, his post match interview, mentioned about mistakes were made. I think certainly for the second goal, yeah, we left Rashford completely on his own. Lascelles didn't show Lukaku onto his right foot. But, I mean, I thought that the mood was better in the stadium tonight. There was more singing. We seemed more up for it as a fan base. The players were really putting a shift in. Like, players like Dummett really impressed me tonight. Players like Perez put a real shift in. Even, like, the likes of sort of Atsu was getting busy and getting involved. And I don't know what anyone else would expect against a Man United team that essentially their squad is over four times the value of Newcastle's squad. And there's only so many... I mean, I don't know tactically what more you can do. I mean, that might seem like a cheap excuse. I appreciate some people will be thinking, well, maybe we should have been more proactive. We were trying to get balls into the box for Rondon. There were some nice interchanges between Atsu and the forward players, and we did get a couple of sights of goal in the first half, but we're depleted. And when you've got players like Diame hobbling off, that was a big miss for us. And if you notice, he went off kind of shortly before we conceded the first goal. That's a huge blow. Hopefully it won't be out for long. Reports suggest, you know, this is a recurring injury, and usually he's not out very long when he does get this hip groin injury. But I think there's a lot to be positive about, and if we can play like this with that intensity and with that passion against the lesser side, we'll be all right. If we'd played like that against Fulham, we'd have won.
Mickey, where do you stand on the optimism-o-meter? Do you think it was kind of, as Adam says, a good committed performance with positives to take? And it simply, I mean, it was a, you know, Adam's right in that they are the most difficult ones for goalkeepers to save. But it was a goalkeeping error, ultimately, that has cost us 3 points. Where do you stand on this result?
It's disappointing, isn't it? Because we've played reasonably well. And, you know, I think at the point that Man United got that first goal, we were probably in the ascendancy and looked like the team that were probably more likely to score, which, going into the night, I know I was optimistic on the preview with Adam, but realistically, no one thought we were going to win, and we had every chance until then. It is disappointing from Dubravka, and he'll be fucking gutted with himself tonight. But that goal, he'll win us far more points than he loses, and you know, as disappointing as it is, I'm not gonna blame him for it. Every keeper's allowed one of those, and it's just unfortunate that it's come in that game where I think it's just completely knocked the wind out of ourselves, and from there we're never gonna get back into it. But no, overall disappointing result, and I think probably not really reflective of the game, and I don't think we deserve to lose.
Rob, results have really gone against us tonight. Burnley have picked up 6 points, and I mean, on Boxing Day they look gone, getting done 5-1 at home by an average Everton side. Huddersfield look doomed with that, but you know, their chairman has come out and said they will spend money, big money, in January because they're not going to sleepwalk towards relegation. Southampton picking up a point yet moving at the relegation zone. At Chelsea and Palace, who seem to be now clear that the mini league gets smaller. How confident are you, having seen what you've seen and heard what the lads have said, about Newcastle staying up after that?
I'm still optimistic and confident that we'll stay up this season. I think, like the lads have said, we've got enough in our squad, and we've got Rafa in charge with the, you know, tactically one of the best in the league. Certainly better than any of the managers that are in the so-called relegation mini league with us. I think having Rafa alone probably gains us an extra eight or something points a season. I feel more disappointed about the result today because we played well. Like we've already said, like, we played well up to the point of the first goal, and that it was an error that for that first goal to go in. And I wouldn't say that the lads, like, their heads dropped or anything after the first goal went in. They were still putting a shift in, but it did have a big effect on them. And I don't think watching the shot from the free kick from Rashford, like the knuckle ball, it must be so difficult to save. I mean, like, greasy surface, the ball's moving all over the place, it bounces right in front of him. It probably looks like, I haven't seen the replay or anything on TV, but it probably looks easier to save than it is. And I think for a goalkeeper of his quality not to be able to do better with that, it just sort of proves how good a free kick it was. And when you've got a striker like Romelu Lukaku who's just come on, waiting to pounce on the rebound, you know, that's what he's there for, and he's got his goal. So no, ultimately I think we'll be okay this season. I think we will stay up, but it could be closer than I was thinking. We need to get results against the teams around us at the bottom.
Yeah, I'll probably disagree with you a little bit. First of all, yeah, I love Martin Dubravka. He's saved countless points, but that is just a goalkeeping error, full stop. He should have saved it. I appreciate it. It's a difficult skill. That's why he's a very good goalkeeper. And again, it's disappointing. I'm sure Rafa will be disappointed at the fact that, yeah, Lukaku's big and strong and he's just come off the bench. But you also disappoint that one of the centre-backs hasn't got there to clear it away. But, you know, I mean, that's been hypercritical. I think Dubravka should have done better. Adam is probably correct in the fact that first 60 minutes, I don't know whether you lads noticed, but Man United basically started and put, to try and counter our five at the back, put four across the front when they were in possession. They put, obviously, Rashford, Martial, Mata and Pogba quite often. They had Matic and Herrera making runs from deep, and it worked quite well for them. I thought first kind of 5-10 minutes we were really shaky. They threatened again a couple of times, but we kind of worked that out. Diarmé and Hayden kind of dropped a little bit deeper, and we also started playing the counter-attack. And Kristianatsu is a much discussed player, but I thought anything that Newcastle did well went through Kristianatsu in the second half. Now, Sai, who's not here to defend himself, spent the game saying he's shite. Mickey, I think, are you of a similar opinion? Because I thought Atsu was one of our best players tonight, but ultimately, your thoughts on his performance?
Normally, yes. No, I think he's generally poor and not really good enough to play in the Premier League, but tonight he was one of our better players, and like you say, everything went through him. He looked dangerous. He looked like Man United couldn't handle him almost until he got within 20 yards of the goal, and then it all went to shit, as has happened repeatedly. But yeah, he is a jigsaw. He deserves some credit tonight though, and I'm gonna give him it. I thought Atsu played really well. He was our best player by some distance.
Fair enough, and I think that's back to the flow of the game. I thought that once we got the grips with that for Man United, and once we started to offer a threat on their counter-attack, they stopped putting four players across our back five in possession, and they found it far more difficult, and they kind of, like us, they got to the edge of our box. We kind of persisted with a reasonably kind of, you know, held the line at the edge of the box. There's a few close calls for offside, which, you know, we're talking here in our office. We haven't seen any replays. We've seen the goals, but they're all offside. And you kind of felt that with Rashford in the middle over Lukaku, even when balls were coming in, you were kind of confident that we had enough to clear the ball. So I think we had worked them out a little bit, and Solskjaer had tried a tactic to push back our five, and it hadn't worked, so things were going okay. My big problem is that results have gone against. We're now 2 points clear of the relegation zone. We have Chelsea, we have Chelsea away, we have Man City at home, we have Spurs away in the next four fixtures, league fixtures. I'd say we'll probably be in the relegation zone by this point. And every time we've dropped in the relegation zone in a Rafa, which is three times or something, we've come out and we've won, and it's been almost put to bed straight away with a little run, or we've never been suffered that pressure of being in the relegation zone. Now, I look back at this time last year, very similar, probably in a, I don't know, I should have checked this, but we either had an equivalent number of points or very similar. It was very similar. And we didn't bring any players, and kind of Kennedy and Dubravka transformed that side. They gave them solidity at the back and something else in attack. And I fear that we're going to get nothing. And if we do get anyone, it's going to be punts, because Kennedy on loan was a punt. It hasn't worked this time, worked last year. Dubravka, as brilliant as he's been, was a massive punt. Pulling a reserve goalkeeper from the Czech Republic League, like, fuck me. And then we had Slimani, who didn't come off, though he would walk in now. Well, he would certainly walk into the bench now. So I'm more concerned than I have been probably since the Brighton result about our ability to sustain ourselves in the Premier League beyond this season as a Premier League club and face relegation. I look at the likes of, okay, Huddersfield look gone, but they're going to spend, but they'll look gone. You know, we've got an 8-point lead on them. And you look at Fulham are going to spend probably, and they're playing reasonably well. They're picking up results. Burnley have picked up 6 points. Cardiff have won at Leicester and are doing well. Palace have pulled away, and Southampton have got a new manager who looks like he knows what he's doing. So I'm probably more negative and more worried than I have been for a long time. Mickey, your assessment?
Just to counter that, though, we come to the end of January and we've played Liverpool twice, Man City twice. No, I haven't played Liverpool twice. Man City twice, Man United twice. Chelsea twice. We've got a lot of the hard games out of the way. So it should, in theory, leave us a slightly more favourable set of fixtures in the running than maybe other teams around us. Just to try and put a bit of optimism in there, because that was dead negative.
Yeah, I'll follow that up, Mickey. Just, you know, coming into this game, and something we discussed on the preview is the fact that, you know, in the last three games over a very tricky Christmas period, in the three games preceding this one, we'd drawn two against teams that were in the bottom half. And we lost against a very, very good Liverpool Champions Elect side. So I don't think a defeat to a top six side, albeit at home, should change too much, because I don't think it's points that we were ever owed anyway. I mean, we're not at any points in the league, but the most important games that we'll be playing against are Cardiff, are away to Wolves. You know, it's you know, in February. You know, obviously we play Chelsea, we play Man City, we play Spurs, but then we've got Wolves, Huddersfield, Burnley, West Ham, home to Everton, away to Bournemouth. Like they're games that we can pick up points in. And yes, we're going to have to pick up points if we want to stay in this league. But for me, a defeat at home to Man United, who just have fucking unlimited resource, I'm not going to let it dampen my spirits. And I still don't believe that we're in the bottom. We're one of the three worst teams in this league come the end of the 38-game campaign. I refuse to believe it. Rafa Benitez, what you saw there in that first hour, you saw the best of Rafa Benitez doing everything he could to frustrate a very free-scoring side that has been unshackled recently and is basically scoring for fun against other teams around us. They didn't hammer us. They had to eke out that we made them earn it, whereas before in the previous three fixtures, the team's just rolled over in front of them. And I think that epitomises why we have an advantage over the other teams around us, because we have Rafa Benitez.
We'd had more shots than them by half-time, I'm sure we'd had more shots than them by half-time. I mean, that's positive against Man United, the way they've played recently.
And fair enough, and I like the positivity I'm just trying to be... And Adam, it's not the defeat against Man United which worries me. It's the other teams picking up points in games that you see, you know, Crystal Palace go to Wolves, you think that's a tough game. They've taken 3 points. Southampton at Chelsea, they've taken a point despite moving in the relegation zone with it and keeping a clean sheet, which is big for Southampton. I mean, did you call it? I don't know who called it, but I was Ben Soy walking out the ground. He was like, our biggest blower isn't key going to the fucking South Korean games or whatever they're called. That's a terrible, like, Asian games or whatever they're called.
AFC Asia Cup.
Imagine sorry.
It was going to the South Korean games.
It's like, it's not, you know, potentially losing Diome now or Kennedy being shy. It's the fact that Southampton sacked Mark Hughes. That's a massive blow for us because they were spiraling. And as Ben said, because Ben has this thing about Joe Hart, he's been on about it since as long as I've known him, pretty much. He's like, Burnley dropped Joe Hart and they picked up 6 points. Like, it's no coincidence, is it? So Burnley dropping Joe Hart is fucked well, in my opinion. But those teams seem to be doing well. And it's hard. I mean, the big concern, though, Adam, the county is, yes, we've got Rafa, true. And he's got the most out of a severely limited side who are doing their best and who did well tonight and could have won that game on another night. But every single other team who has picked up either as many or very close to us in terms of points is going to spend money and improve their squad. And it's more than likely that we're not going to do that again for whatever reason. So that's my concern. It's just a concern. It's, you know, I would love to be proved wrong. I'm not saying we're definitely going to get relegated, but I'm more worried than we have been for a while. And while I take your points on board about the performance tonight, I feel that we've become wed to this five at the back system. We played it against Fulham, it didn't work. We played it against Liverpool, it didn't work. But then, you know what, it could have been far worse than that, playing four at the back. We played it against Watford, it worked. We should have won that game, we should have seen it out. And we played it tonight and it's been all right. And I just think, where does it end? Because we're going to play it against Chelsea in the next league game. We're going to play it against Man City. So do we go into that Cardiff game playing five at the back again with three centre-backs and all we're sat here having the same conversations? That's what worries me, our inability to beat these sides. For all, Mickey, that we've played most of the top six twice by the end of January, it's not our record against the top six which worries me. It's the fact that we don't score goals against the teams in the bottom six. And while we have picked up points from them, will that be enough come the end of the season? But, I mean, time will tell. Rob, Shelvey came on tonight. I want to think, you know, how did he do? And do you think that losing Diome was possibly the moment that the game swung? Because until then, we had kept them at bay very well. They hadn't really counter-attacked at all, Man United, and kind of when Diome went off, I mean, it might have been because we won a goal down, but we were counted against for fun. So your assessment of Shelvey's return and also the Diome injury?
Yeah, start with Diome. I think him going off was a big blow to us, because he's watching him this season, he's been exceptional. You know, he wins the ball back, he just sits there, breaks up play, and this is against the best teams in the league as well. You know, it's not just teams around us, it's the top teams, and watching him do it today, last season he ended up sending Pogba off the pitch in tears, pretty much.
Halcyon days.
Unfortunately, not today. But so I think him going off did have an impact on the way we played once Shelvey came on. Hayden's really a defensive midfielder as well. Shelvey coming on, I thought was, albeit his very first contribution was to give the ball away pretty much on the edge of our box. Ultimately, like, overall, I think he was positive, and it did give us a bit more of a spark going forwards. He was bringing other players into play. He was doing his usual, you know, cross field balls to the fullbacks or the wingbacks as we were playing today. He brings a different dimension to our play, and he could be vital for us for the rest of the season, in terms of creativity. And I hope Diome hasn't picked up a nasty injury. He may have just gone off as a precaution. I suppose we'll have to wait and see what the damage is. But I'd love to see Diome and Shelby in the middle again together. Once Shelby gets up and running, I think he's going to make a difference.
Cool. I mean, we could go through the individual performances. I don't know how much it tells us. I mean, no one particularly stood out to me. They all did well. I can't personally see Perez on the right as, you know, I don't get that one. Perez seems to be the player that, you know, divides opinion. He's done a lot of good things in his time as Newcastle, but for me on the right wing, if you want to call it that, I mean, he kind of played a hybrid position, but he offered very little. I mean, he's a striker essentially playing out wide, but that's where we are at the minute, Adam. And you know, going back to the tactical setup, and you've been kind of full of praise for Rafa tonight and the lads and how they did. Do you think that this is us for the season? How do you think the five at the back, it's ingrained in the team, it's how they'll be training every day, and it's something that the likes of me, who would love to see us go back to four at the back against lesser sides, is going to have to get used to?
I think that we will be a lot more positive against Cardiff, because I think by that point, we've probably lost a couple more. And Rafa is somebody who can surprise and can change it up. You know, the five at the back came from kind of nowhere, and it's just become a recent phenomenon. There's no reason why he wouldn't just kind of change it up. And to be honest, it's almost like it might work to our advantage if he was to suddenly switch to a four. Cardiff have prepared for a five-man defence, and it gives us the bounce on Neil Warnock. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you know, these the great tactician Neil Warnock, but like, I think Rafa is not stupid. We have to trust. Like, he'll know what works and what doesn't work far better than what we will, because he'll see all the nuances and he'll see all the intricacies of how a tactic is flowing, how it develops, how effective it is. Don't be surprised. We won't play five at the back for the rest of the season. No chance. He's a defensive coach, but he's like against the big teams. And away from home.
And Fulham.
And Fulham, yes. But at the same time, we've discussed Fulham and we thought, well, we've been so successful with the five at the back. Going into the Fulham game, to change it up might have stopped that kind of the flow of that run of games, which we did very well away from home. So in a way, I can understand it. He'll appreciate that he probably got that wrong. He's not too stubborn to admit that kind of stuff. He's constantly seeking improvement. He wants to better us. He wants to find marginal gains wherever he can make them. And he will look for Cardiff weaknesses and he will exploit them. And if that means changing formation, he'll 100% do it, because he's done it before.
Yeah, fair enough. I definitely hope you're right. Mickey, do you want to come in anyway? Because I was, yes. Go on then, speak to the world.
I just think, you know, with the formation, it's always like at the end of a game that you lose, it's always, the grass is always greener. We've done this in the past with 4-2-3-1, which we played relentlessly under Rafa for ages and ages and ages, and lots of us on this podcast criticised it at times because it didn't work. There's a reason why he's doing it, and the calibre of player we've got in the squad, you know, we've got excellent centre-halves at the minute. It's like getting three of them on the pitch isn't necessarily a bad thing. And, you know, it's worked in enough games to justify the decision, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was great to see Lejeune back on the bench tonight. That's one positive. I really hope he gets a start against Blackburn at the weekend.
Wish we didn't have to play that game.
Well, me and Rob were talking about the Blackburn game, and it's almost like last year against Luton, he surprised a few with the strength of the side. Last year when we played Luton, we had the exact same problems where we couldn't score to him. I mean, that's one goal in four games now. Generally, we hardly scored a home goal, and he kind of played that game, I think, Dwight Gayle got two and Perez got one, or vice versa. And from then on, we're kind of, he might use Saturday as a chance to try and get some confidence through the players. No one knows, we'll get beat 2-0. Because Blackburn are not Luton. They're also kind of, with some good results recently, they're kind of safe from relegation in the Championship. So they have a lot to play for, whereas we don't have the team or squad for a cup run.
Did Shelby score against Luton?
Shelby maybe scored against, who knows? I mean, who knows who scored against Luton? It's the unanswerable question of our age.
No way.
Yeah, I was in a flight from Abu Dhabi to fucking Amsterdam or something mental like that at the time. So I wasn't there, which is why I can't tell you. But Mickey, it might turn out to be a good thing having the game this week. What I was going to ask you, Mickey, if I was to say to you, what do we need this window to stay up? And I want realistic answers because I don't want a new team. What do we need position-wise, do you think? Like, not what would we like, what do we need? What does Lee, Charnley, and whichever person is responsible, Steve Nixon, whatever he's called, or Nichols, or what do they like have to do? They've got to look at this squad and think, if we don't do this, there's a good chance we'll be relegated this window.
Need a creative midfielder. Whether that's number 10 or someone that plays slightly deeper, I think it's desperate. That if we sign one player, it has to be there. I would choose number 10 out of the two. But if we were to sign someone that plays a bit deeper, that's very creative, I think it would be useful. It kind of depends now on whether Diarmé is going to get fit or not. If he's got a problem, it's going to last a couple of, like, a serious amount of weeks, and he needs to be replaced, because Isaac Hayden playing every game centre mid will mean we'll go down.
Even this time last year, if you suggested that Mo Diarmé being injured was any sort of issue, like, very few Newcastle fans would believe you. So as soon as your form can turn around, there was a moment tonight where Hayden tried to do some pirouette in the box, and it was just hilariously bad. And fair play to him for trying, because it's the only way you're going to score goals and create things. It's like, my big issue with Perez, and like, bringing back to him, was the easy option was constantly taken. I know he gets it from fans when he loses the ball, but when you're in the final third, I think there was a point in the first half where him and Yedlin were kind of doubled up, and it ended up being quite a good move. But, you know, you're Isaac Perez, you're the attacking player. Don't pass the ball backwards to the fullback to try and create something. It's your job. And I feel that because of the lack of confidence and lack of goals, where too many players take the easy option, don't want to take the shot first time. And you talk about Christian Atsu in the first half having shots, and they were well taken shots, and they made the goalkeeper do something, but he didn't want to hit them first time because he doesn't have the confidence, or he's not good enough, one of the two. And I mean, it's the same question you lads, I kind of agree with Mickey, but those players in the Premier League to make a difference just cost loads of money. So yeah, I mean, Adam, what would need this window?
I mean, just to follow on from your point before, I mean, the other thing is, the reason players might not do what you want them to do is because Rafa might have told them not to do, so they might be following out instructions that we're not privy to. They might not be, they might just be shit, but, like, sure. You know, I'm just to give a bit of counter to that.
In the case of Perez as well, there's something to be said about the crowd getting on his back whenever he makes a mistake.
Oh, 100%.
Whenever he tries to beat someone and he doesn't pull it off, you get 60% of the crowd at home kicking off with him and shouting and telling me shit. Like, that's part of the problem.
It's not helpful. We need to encourage the players, even in games like this. We need to encourage them. The 2-0 down, doesn't matter. Keep going, lads, keep going. That's what we need. For me, we've got the defence sorted. I don't think that defence could be any better than it is, and we're about to inject Lejeune, hopefully slowly, in the next few games. I don't want to rush him back and be reliant on him when he needs time to get back up to speed, because he's been out of football for a good 5 months or so. But
10 months less than he should have been with that injury.
Well, exactly, yeah, exactly. It's a miracle that he was even on the bench today. But for me, I mean, I don't care who else is at the club. We need another striker. We need goals. Rafa's blanket is firmly placed over the defensive midfielders and the back four or five, or how many we play. We are exposed at the top. We don't have enough firepower. We can't rely on Rondon scoring enough goals. And that's not to his discredit, but what I'm saying is he shouldn't bear the burden. And Rondon, I just worry that he pulls a thigh or something happens like that, because, you know, he's getting closer to 30, and, you know, he's been unfit for a lot of the start of the season as well. We're pinning so much of our fate and our future on Salomon Rondon coming up with a few more important goals that win some points. We need someone in there to help him. Hosolu is not good enough. And if bringing somebody in bumps him down the pecking order, I don't care. We need to stay in this league. We need goals. That is paramount to us staying up. We can't rely on one player.
I agree wholeheartedly. The caveat, of course, in reality, is just money, players willing to come. You know, you think about the farcical fucking Jorgensen saga last year, like, Jesus Christ. You know, like, these days, there's loads of, like, nostalgia for, like, even times that weren't that good. Like, kids, you know, 20 years, like, the Mark Corbys of the future, we're talking about, like, do you remember when we tried to sign Jorgensen? It was just, like, we didn't even really try. Any shite, like, it's brutal, isn't it? We need, for me, pace, we're so slow, we're so easy to defend against on the counter-attack. It's, you know, commitment forward against us, it is fine. Like, we will not harm you. Like you say, we had Christian Atsu doing a good job in the counter-attack, but as soon as he got close to the box, now it happens. Rondon is reasonably quick, but he doesn't have pace to burn. You know, if we just had Dwight Gayle as a second choice to bring off the bench, or an equivalent player, that's more realistic than us going out. As much as I would love to see us buy a striker to get goals, it's just not going to happen. Well, I would, you know, history would suggest it's not going to happen. And it's just, to me, we need pace. Now, we'll have Jacob Murphy. Rafa clearly doesn't fancy him for whatever reason. He might be ready for the end of the season. I'd have loved to see him play tonight. I'd have loved to see him come on tonight, because I think that Man United back, particularly the back two, were back four, really, of Shaw, Valencia, Lindelof and Jones were really susceptible to pace, and you saw that. But we didn't, you know, it didn't happen for whatever reason. We need pace in this side because we don't scare teams enough. We don't score goals. I look remotely threatening from set pieces before. We've been worked out from set pieces. The back post, Lascelles header just doesn't cut it anymore. So we need pace, and I agree with you. We're well stocked in centre back. It's probably the first time in the Ashley era that we've had a single position on the pitch where you're not worried if one player gets suspended and one player gets injured, because we've got players. Having said that, it's likely he'll flog Kieran Clark, because, you know, he's two places off the bench in reality, despite putting some good performances this season. Lads, it's late, and we've done, you know, half an hour on a game which won't live long in the memory, truth be told. It reminds me quite a lot of the Carver game when we got beat 1-0 and Tim Krull passed the ball to Ashley Young in the last minute to score. you know, it was only, what, 2015 that
season. As it was.
Yeah. there's not loads more to say. I mean,
quick shout out to the mass exodus people that left the ground with 12 to 15 minutes to go, 2-0 dicks.
The boycott lives on.
Yeah. Rob, I was going to come to you and say, is there a player that really stood out tonight? You thought, you know what, fucking fair play, mate. You put a good shift in. A man of the match, a true faith man of the match.
Christian Atsu, I thought. just because every time he got the ball, it looked like something was going to happen, which is very unlike him. And I've been very critical of him, especially this season. I thought he was getting worse. But no, I thought tonight he was very positive and made things happen for us, and if he seemed to get into the box quite a lot. He had a few shots in the first half. So yeah, that's who I would go for.
If you're listening, Christian, save her that one. The true faith man of the match.
The only time it'll ever happen. Yeah. Sticking on your mantelpiece, lad.
Yeah. This has been the True Faith podcast. We'll be back for you on the free pod after Blackburn. In the cup, the mighty march to Wembley starts on Saturday, apparently. It's only 11 quid or something, so it's cheap to go. But I think thousands of mags will turn their back on this one. We need to be taken over. The club is fucked if we're not taken over, as this is kind of a whole different podcast, which we'll probably do on Patreon. But even if we were to stay up this season, that squad is so far behind equivalent squads in the Premier League. It's three or four windows of damage has been done. As the club should have worked out in 15-16, you can't undo 4 years of underinvestment with one transfer window. It just doesn't work, but they haven't learned because they're fucking idiots. So on that cheery note, I'm going to leave you. Thanks to the lads with me here, recorded live from our office at the Toffee TF Factory.
TFHQ.
And I thanks to all people who listen. If you like the show, please leave us a 5-star review on whatever platform you listen to. It really helps us expand the show and hopefully represents what you think about it. So yeah, this has been the True Faith Podcast. Back for you soon.